Okay, yesterday we were discussing about the challah and honey and the apple and honey. Well, we didn't finish the apple and honey. Now, a lot of people, they have a lot of different customs of eating various different things on Rosh Hashanah. In fact, there was a whole board that they gave out about what to eat. When you eat pomegranate, you eat fish. When you eat silk and karsi, these are various different types of foods that mean a lot. Or whatever. Our custom is, we eat a pomegranate the first night. We eat the challah dipped in honey. We eat an apple the first night dipped in honey, and so on and so on. But we don't say all the yiratzins that a lot of people say. For everything they say, yiratzin, whatever, there should be like this and like this. We don't do that. We just do it by the apple dipped in honey. So the procedure of the meal the first night is as follows. You make Kiddush, you know, Rosh Hashanah Kiddush. And after you drink the wine, you go wash for hametzi. You make hametzi, you dip the challah in honey, like we just said, you dip it three times. And then, before you start eating the rest of the meal, we take an apple, and we dip it into honey. Now, because the apple, even though you washed already for challah, for bread, but because you're not eating the apple to fill you up, you're eating it as a special reason, so then you have to make a bracha on the apple. Normally after you wash, but if you eat fruit during the meal, many times you have to make a bracha on the fruit anyway. But in this case, for sure, you need to make a very pure eitz on the apple. So the custom is, you take the apple, piece of apple, whatever, dip it into honey, and then you make a bracha very pure eitz, and before you eat it, you say, Yiratzim afanecha shetchadi shalan roshan ateva mesukah, like it says in the Siddur, and then you eat the apple. Okay? So first you dip the apple into honey, not to make a separation between the bracha and the eating. If you're going to make the bracha and then dip it into the honey, it's taking another second of separation between the bracha and the eating. So you dip the apple into the honey, you make a very pure eight, and right away you say the hirotzen, and then you eat the apple. And there's a long letter from the Rebbe explaining why the hirotzen is not considered a hefsik talking between the bracha and the eating. So the bottom line is you make the bracha, you say hirotzen, and then you eat... eat the apple. And only on the apple. Only on the apple, nothing else. Then, our minig is also, you eat either a head of a ram or head of a fish, you know, but we don't say yiratzin on anything else, but except, like we said, only on the apple. What? We're not the only one that doesn't, but it's only on the, I don't know why. The Rebbe just writes, we don't say the yiratzin only on the apple, not on anything else. It depends on what you're eating. What are you eating? And a different fruit, vegetable, you mean? Our custom is not. Our custom is for those people that eat, beets, or they eat what's called rubia, or karsi, or silka, which are beets, then you'd make adam. But we don't do that. We only eat the apple. And the head of a fish.
What about the other
things? Yeah, if you're eating the other things, you make adama, correct. Yes.
You make bracha on the...
No, you don't make a bracha on the apple because that already is part of benching.
Do we make sure we don't eat more than a kazayit?
No, that's the second night with the shechianu. But this, because you already did it, first of all, we do eat a kazayit, but we'll get into that tomorrow, when we learn about the second night. With the Shechianu fruit. But the first night, when you eat the apple dipped in honey, you eat it after you wash, the benching covers the after bracha on the apple. So it doesn't matter how much of the apple you eat. Or if you eat other things which are adama, then you need to say adama, correct? You can eat as much as you want, and benching will all cover it. Like, some people have a meaning when they eat the head of a ram, a sheep, or head of a fish, to say Yiratzim Vanecha, that we should be a rush, a head and not a tail. That's the whole, like we said, that's the whole Indian of eating all these fruits. Sir, I am explaining Chabad custom.
I'm trying to
in this religion, you're safe that any question you ask, if somebody would answer that different opinions and different customs, you'd be right 99.99999% of the time. You're right. We're discussing Chabad customs. What? Well, you don't eat a sour apple. You don't eat sour fish. Because we only eat sweet foods. Whether it should be a green apple, a red apple, a purple apple, a yellow apple. The minhag b'chlal is to use a red apple because... Huh? That's... The red apple is a red apple. Okay, the rest of the meal, like we said, you eat what you want. Okay. What I want to do a little bit is discuss the shofar, because that's the main mitzvah of the day, is the mitzvah of blowing shofar. Now everybody knows that we blow tekiyah, shvarim, teruah, tekiyah, tekiyah, shvarim, tekiyah, tekiyah, teruah, tekiyah. We blow a lot of different sounds. Now, if you look in the Chumash, that's not what it says to do. Okay? It says in the Torah, you have to blow shofar teruah. You have to blow a teruah. You have to blow a teruah. Then we learn out from a different pasuk that you have to blow what we call a tekiyah before and after each teruah. And the Torah says the word teruah three times. So the Chum say like that. What do you need to blow on shofar, on Rosh Hashanah? Tekiyah, teruah, tekiyah three times. That's the mitzvah of shofar. Tekiyah, teruah, tekiyah three times. What's the problem? The problem is, says Shulchan Aruch, because of the extended golus, people forgot what is a teruah. What is a teruah? We don't know what the word teruah means. We call teruah today tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu, that one. But there is what's called a shvarim, and there is a teruah. But what's the argument? The argument that people forgot is the teruah sound a groaning, moaning sound, or is it a crying sound? Now, people always hear Jews kvetch, right? Now, how does a Jew kvetch? That's a kvetch, right? That's what the shvarim is. That's a shvarim. Or is it a crying sound? Like when a kid cries, that's what we call teruah. So the shaila is in halacha, because of extended golus, it says, we don't remember what is the definition of a teruah. Is it what we call shvarim? Is it what we call teruah? Or is it what we call shvarim teruah together? We don't know, because of extended golus. People forgot. In fact, the commentators asked, if they did shofar every year, how is it possible to forget? Okay, but the bottom line is people forgot. That's what it says in halacha. So now we have like this. The Torah says you need to blow a tekiyah before, and a tekiyah after, and a teruah in the middle. Now, if a teruah means teruah, then you can't blow a shvarim before the teruah, because then you'd make a separation between the tekiyah and the real teruah. Or, another question like this. If we don't know what it is, why don't we blow tekiyah, shvarim, teruah, tekiyah? And then you got everybody covered. So all the chayru we should do is blow tekiyah, shvarim, teruah, tekiyah three times. Because if it's shvarim, it's good. If it's teruah, it's good. And if it's both together, it's good. The problem is, if it's really teruah, then when we blow a shvarim after the tekiyah, between the tekiyah and the teruah, we're making a separation between the tekiyah and the biblical teruah. Or if the biblical teruah would be what we call shvarim, so then you're making a separation with the teruah between the real teruah and the second tekiyah. Therefore, we blow the whole set of tekiyah, shvarim, teruah, tekiyah three times, tekiyah, shvarim, tekiyah three times, teruah, tekiyah, three times, and then you got everybody covered. All the bases covered. Now, what happens? What is the minimal that somebody today could be Yetzer Shofar? Minimal. There's a guy's going around to blow in hospitals, and you can't blow 30 kailas 10 times on the floor and 10 floors. You know, I mean, you won't be blowing anymore. So then, there's two opinions. Some poskim hold, if you blow tkiya shvarm trua, tkiya shvarm tkiya, tkiya trua tkiya, like we blow in Elul, they say then you're yaitza the mitzvah that way, b'diavid. Some poskim say you should do tkiya shvarm trua tkiya three times. Not tashrat, tashat, tarat, but tashrat, tashrat, tashrat three times. But that's the minimal that a person would be fulfilling the obligation with. What?
Are there any requirements on the shofar or who's blowing it in order to be?
It has to be a Jew, male, over 13, and he knows how to blow. That's the criteria of the blower. The shofar needs to be a kosher shofar. If you have a hole in the shofar, a crack in the shofar, then many times the shofar is not kosher. So then you can't use it. But the blower needs to be male, over bar mitzvah, and knows how to blow. And the truth is, he needs to know the halachas of how to blow. Because there's a lot of complicated halachas in the actual blowing of the shofar. How long the tkiya has to be, how long the shvarim has to be, how long the tru has to be. And if we have time, we'll discuss some of the details that people should just be aware of the mitzvah of the actual blowing of the shofar, how it works. So that's why we blow tkiya shvarim trua tkiya three times, tkiya shvarim tkiya three times, tkiya trua tkiya three times. Besides the Kabbalistic meaning of each one of these things. Now, the main tkiyas, which are called tkiyas miyushev, this was mentioned Sunday morning, tkiyas miyushev are the tkiyas we blow before Musaf. Why are they called tkiyas miyushav, the sitting tkiyas? Because according to Halacha, everybody is allowed to sit except the blower. The blower has to stand because he's blowing for the community. It would be disrespectful for him to sit. But technically, if he blows privately for somebody, he can sit. But the listeners technically are allowed to sit. Only for the brachas which are said before the blowing of the shofar, they should stand. But technically, the custom already is everybody stands. I mean, you know. But the bottom line is, halachically, they're called kiyas miyushev because you're allowed to sit. Then, during the quiet Shemon Esrei, in the Hasidic world, the Kabbalah world, they blow also. Many shows they don't blow during the quiet Shemon Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. But those that go according to Kabbalah blow, again, at the end of each brach, there's three brachas. At the end of three brachas, you blow the Elul tkiyas. Tkiya shvarim trua tkiya, tkiya shvarim trua tkiya, and tkiya trua tkiya. So you blow that, each one of the brachas, which is another 30. It's 10 times 3. Then when they repeat the Shemon Esrei, then everybody does, and they blow the shofar again during the repetition of the Shemon Esrei, and that is called tkiyas mu'umad. The standing tkiyas. Why? For those tkiyas, everybody must stand. But we'll see it later, but there are other details involved in this.